Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
We're starting off this new series called Our Stories, which we love just an opportunity as we're coming back together again to not only see each other, but also to share stories. And so different ones from the congregation are going to be sharing their stories of how Jesus has transformed our lives. We've spent the last few months just preaching from the scriptures about Jesus, about him being the foundation in our lives, about him being our bread of life, the light of the world. And now we want to just share stories from amongst our congregation of how Jesus being our bread of life, our light of the world, how he has changed and transformed us. Because it's more than just stories in a book. It's more than just theories or religion. But it's we have a real God who walks with us. And the truth is that our stories are really his story. Because his story is in each and every one of us. And he's what brings us together. His story in us is what makes us family. And what makes us one. And we're so excited that we're coming back together and just beginning to be family once again. You know, my family is still my family wherever they are around the world. But there's something special about family reunions when we're all together in the house. And so welcome to being in the house. So we're going to start off here our series. Terry and I think this might be our first time actually preaching in church. We've done weddings together. We've done outreaches together. But seminars together, but now we are preaching in church. So you guys are our guinea pigs. Your first time ever on stage here. We're sharing a sermon together called Our Stories. And I want to just open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you're here with us. And Lord, as we gather together, we're really come together to meet with you. And so in this moment, we open our hearts and we just say, come, Holy Spirit, speak to each and every one of us, both those here in the room and those at home viewing online. Our prayer today is that it would be more than just, Lord, telling our story, but really, Lord God, it would be your story, because it's your story that transforms our hearts, changes our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today as we share, you know, one of the benefits, but also one of the harder things is as you get older, you have more stories to share. And so we were just kind of working through our stories and thinking, so what do we really want to share today? What's going to help and what's going to be the most fun things to share? And so we're going to share just kind of three sections of our lives. We're going to talk about our fathers, both of us, our fathers and growing up. And then we're going to talk about our salvation, our come to Jesus moment. The moments when we met Jesus, became Christians. And then we're going to finish up by talking a little bit about our careers and just how Jesus has made a difference in each and every part of our lives. And so here to talk about her dad first, I'm going to turn it over to Terry. Lead the way. Ladies first.
Thanks, Bruce. I had the most wonderful dad in the whole wide world. He was an amazing provider. It was because of him that we were able to travel around the world. He was a diplomat in the Foreign Service. So it was amazing to just, you know, go to all these different countries with my family. And he was so caring and so loving. He was the type of dad that would, in the morning, on a weekend when my mom would have to go to work, because she was a nurse, he would come into our rooms in the morning with chocolate milk to wake us up. Now, I don't know about you, but as a kid, I think that's pretty amazing, kids, to wake up to chocolate in the morning, chocolate milk. And he would also afterwards take us swimming. Every Sunday, he would take us swimming, and then after that, he would take us to ice cream. I don't know about you, but how awesome is it to have ice cream, right, after you go swimming? So, and then even at night times, he would bring his guitar into our bedrooms, and he would literally sing to us. He would sing to us a love song or a lullaby just to help us fall asleep. He was the type of dad that would really encourage us and cheer us on and even coach us, whether we needed help with badminton or volleyball. And He was also the type of dad would take the time to help us with our homework, specifically in math, because he was such a genius in math. I could not say anything bad about my dad because he was truly an amazing dad. I felt like I could become the president, you know. He always assured us of how much he loved us. So I really appreciated that about my dad. And you could say that my world was pretty much like a perfect little bubble with an amazing dad, a great family, and just a good life because we were able to travel. God provided for a lot of things, you know, when you travel. And if you're in a diplomatic family, there are a lot of perks that come with that, like having tax-free stuff. Anyway, so it was just so perfect. The bubble was absolutely perfect. But at the age of 19, that bubble burst when my father suddenly died of a heart attack. He died at the age of 52. And so for me, that was really shocking. It was very painful. And I felt very angry with God that why would he take this amazing dad away from me? So much so that I was so angry, I just stopped going to church. Now, I'm a Catholic. I was a Catholic back then. I'm not now. But I would go to church every Sunday religiously. But when my dad passed away, in my anger, in my disillusionment, I just stopped going to church. But it was also during that time that I thought, well, why? Why even bother? What's the point? We're going to die. Doesn't matter how good life is. It's going to end the same way. There's just so much discouragement. But it eventually started that search of, is this really what it's all about? Is this what life is about? So I actually began to, you know, have that search of trying to find out, what is life all about? Which really actually opened my heart to be open, you know, to look for something more meaningful. And I would often say that it was really through my dad. When he passed away, I lost my dad, but through Jesus Christ, I found my father. And it took something like that to take me out of the comforts of life, to really take a look at my life and see what's really important. And the scripture, Psalm 34:18, that says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And it's often through our painful and difficult times that we end up finding God, right?
So true. It was such a kind of a journey for us, even just preparing to speak as we kind of went back through our lives and seeing how our lives really align in so many ways. Because both of our dads died, died when she was 19, when I was 29. They both died the same year, 1989. And 10 years apart, she and I are. She's 10 years younger than me. I don't know how that happened. Looks like 20 years younger than me. But and so it's interesting because in the next couple of years we'll be at the same age as when our dads died. I'll be 63 and she'll be somewhat younger than I am. But you know, as we went back over even that story of our dads, how we both just had really great dads growing up. My father was a great provider, and he was the kind of guy who just walked in wisdom. I can remember at church or even family gatherings, there would always be a line of guys who wanted to talk to my dad and get wisdom from him, bring their problems to him. And my dad was just constantly helping people. At work, it was the same. People looked to him. I remember at his funeral how presidents of other companies would come and just would tell me the times that my dad helped them out, how he, you know, gave them finances, helped them with a contract, gave them wisdom. And that's just the way he lived. He was the kind of guy that people looked to for wisdom. A great dad. He was the coach of our basketball team, the coach of the softball team, involved in our lives. And so we both just grew up with great dads. And her dad was just, like, his death was sudden, tragic, heart attack, a shock, when she was 19. I was 29 years old when my dad passed. And it was a bit different. For me, it was a two-year journey of just he had a stroke. And then he just continued, you know, he had that first stroke and it incapacitated him, but then he fully recovered and then hit another stroke. And 2 years of just seeing him gradually decline to where the last year of his life, he was totally incapacitated, couldn't talk, he couldn't feed himself, couldn't move, you know, he couldn't walk. Everything had to be done for him. And so he needed 24/7 care. And to see my dad, who was, you know, this man who led the family, was always a leader in the church, in the community, to see him just totally incapacitated like that, his personality totally changed. I moved back home, and just to help take care of him, we decided we're going to take care of him in the house. You know, we made all his own foods and fed him, cared for him. It was such a grind, honestly, and it challenged my faith in the same way that her dad's death challenged her faith. I was already a believer. And for her, it kind of jolted her out from having religion without a relationship with God. For me, it tested my relationship with God. I really doubted. Does, you know, God, are you there? Are you listening? We had so many people come and pray for him. Gather. I remember the night he had his first stroke and just, you know, dozens of people coming to the house just to check on us and see what was going on and gather around and see what was happening. And the same thing when he passed, the hundreds of people who came to his funeral. But for me, it was just this struggle of, God, do you really exist? Do you know? Do you care? Walking through those questions. But I'll tell you what the result in her case, you know, the result was that she found Jesus. For me, it just deepened my faith in God because I had to make a choice. It came down to saying, either I trust that, God, you really are there, you really care, because there's nothing in my circumstances that makes me think that you know what's going on or care. But I have to either choose that that is who you are and what your nature is, or choose to go off my own way and reject you. And in that moment, just between me and God, I made that choice to say, God, I trust you. And that solidified, kind of put a foundation, an anchor in my faith that whatever I've walked through since then, it's been simple just to know that I've already made up my mind. I've chosen to trust God in every situation, regardless of the circumstance. And so we've seen God come through time and time again. And that's my encouragement to you. If you're walking through a difficult time, choose to trust God. Choose to turn to him in your difficult times. We are all, I mean, as a church, we have walked through some difficult times these last 3 months. Several of you have lost parents. Others of you have, right now, friends and family who are in the hospital. All of us have seen friends die from COVID and other things. We've been in this isolation and seen many of us have lost jobs or income. And these kinds of pressures can make us doubt God. But I just want to take a moment and pray for you. If you're in a place where you are struggling, where you're feeling abandoned or feeling like your relationship with God has gone empty or dry, I just want to take a moment and pray for you. Heavenly Father, in this moment, as we walk through difficult times, I pray, Lord God, that you would turn our hearts towards you. That, Lord, just as Terry and I found you in our darkest moments, Lord God, and how it deepened our faith, and took our relationship to a different level. God, I pray that they would find you in a different way, in a deeper intimacy, in a stronger faith, that their hope, their faith, their love for you, Lord God, and their recognition of your love for them would grow in these dark moments. God, may we be a church that finds you in the dark places. So that, God, as we walk in a world where so many people are facing dark times, difficult circumstances, tragedy, disappointment, that God, we'd be the kind of church, the kind of people that bring hope, that bring comfort, that bring strength, that renew faith and pour out love to people when they're walking through their difficult moments. Let us not be the kind of church that draws back from people in those times, but the kind of church that comes alongside, that weeps with those that weep, and rejoices with those that rejoice. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you shared, you know, as Terry shared, it was in that dark moment that she found God, that she really came to salvation. And so we're going to unpack a little more about how that took place, how salvation happened, how she found Jesus.
Yeah, I lost my father when I was during my college years. And it was during that time that I had a college friend befriend me, super friendly. We got along really well, and we became really good friends. And then one day, he asked me, if you were to die today, how sure are you that you're going to go to heaven? And I really wasn't sure, but I wanted to be sure. And I wanted to go to heaven. And so I told him that. And then he said, would you like me to lead you in a prayer of salvation? And, you know, because I trusted him, he's a friend, and I wanted to go to heaven, I followed that prayer of salvation with him. And that was the day that I got saved and I came to Christ. And I wasn't put off by that question, because some people could be shocked, right? But I wasn't, because he had built that friendship with me. It was easy to receive that and trust him. And he wasn't a pastor, he wasn't a church leader, but when the time came, he was prepared to lead me to Christ. And it wasn't in a church or an outreach event. There was no music playing. Nothing like that was happening. But God still met with me, even at that time, of just receiving him. And sometimes we go to church and we want to encounter God, and they think that going to church is going to encounter God, but the reality is that we are the church, and we bring God with us wherever we go. And I could even remember that after I came to know Christ, it was almost a year before I actually could come to church. What I did instead was get involved in a small group. They encouraged me to get involved in a small group. And I will forever be grateful for my small group, for my Connect group, with these ladies. They were just ordinary women with ordinary jobs, but they helped me establish my faith in the Lord, and they helped me grow in my walk with God. And until this day, we are good friends. We're countries apart, but we're like calling each other, you know, the group calls, the video calls. So I'm just truly grateful, even through that time, that there were small groups, ladies that genuinely cared for me and my growth and just loved on me. Yay to small groups.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, kind of like in the ways that Terry and I, the passing of our fathers was very similar but very different. Our salvation stories are really different. I came to Christ when I was 7 years old. No career, you know, no, it was, I was just in a Sunday school class, so wasn't like a friend on campus or anything. I was in church. In Sunday school, and I love Sunday school class. Praise God. I'm so glad we have a great Sunday school class. And in that class, this teacher, I still remember him, Mikey Zuka. And again, just kind of a normal guy. Well, not so normal. You would think he's kind of a nerd type guy. He never got married. He was not wealthy. He would not be the kind of guy that you would think is cool or that people would be attracted to. But he was our seven-year-old boy's Sunday school class teacher. And was the one who led me to the Lord. And so everybody that I lead to the Lord, you know, is credit to him in heaven. And he just simply was doing a Bible study, a Sunday school class on Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, which says, behold, I stand at the door that knock. And this is Jesus talking to us. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. And I love that verse because it talks about first that we can hear God's voice.
Yeah.
And the truth is that that sounds like, oh, that's so mystical, and only a special few can hear his voice. The truth is all of us can hear his voice. And you wouldn't be in church today if you didn't hear God's voice. Because the Bible says that there's nothing in this world outside of the voice of God that really draws people to want to go to church, want to seek God. It's always the voice of God that draws people to God, because the world itself pulls people away from God. And so no one can come to God, the Bible teaches us, except that God is speaking to them, drawing them. And so it may be that we don't yet recognize the voice of God, but God is always speaking. And I know that God is speaking to you even now.
Mm.
It's just tuning in. And part of this is just simply saying, God, help me recognize your voice. I want to hear your voice above every other voice. And you'll be surprised as God begins, his voice starts to become known in your life. And then I love what it says, I will come into him and I will eat with him. I love that God, you know, he defines the relationship with him as being around the table, sharing together a meal. because so many good things happen around a meal. I mean, what's a family gathering without a meal, right? What is, and I know that's big even here in Chinese community, when you walk into a house. And remember, it, when I moved to Hong Kong as a missionary, they told me when you go in, the greeting is not hello, it's not how are you, it's have you eaten yet? You know, so that's the greeting. Have, and if not, you know, we're going to eat together, because eating is sort of foundational to community and knowing each other. And that's what God is saying. He's saying, I want to come into your house and I want to make it my house. I want to make myself at home in your house, in your heart. So we share together. We call that in Hawaiian, in the, sort of the pidgin English, make house. You know, just come in, make house. It means just come in, make yourself at home. Help yourself to the refrigerator. Anything you find in the cupboards, you can have. Whatever's on the table, you can eat. Just make yourself at home. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, we're going to share life together. I'm going to make myself at home in your life. I want you to make yourself at home in my life. That we'll commune together. That community is such an important thing. You know, that relationship that we have. I know, like, for myself and Terry, you know, we didn't know each other very well. But I love the community that she was a part of. And so it's played a big role for me going to church, because he was an adult. My mom brought us to church. It was easy for me to just trust that when he was saying, hey, if you say this prayer, Jesus will come in your heart. And that's simply what I did. I just trusted. And this is what we want to do. We want to build a community of trust. We want to live lives in a way that builds trust in people. The way that her friend built a relationship with her. So that was easy when he said, if you die today, where would you go? She wasn't like, why are you asking these personal kind of questions? But rather, there was a trust built. And so let's live our lives in a way that people can trust us. That's how we come to salvation, was me just trusting that school teacher and her, trusting her classmate. And so we're going to head on to our last section here. I love also just as we got saved, how, you know, when she got saved, it was about heaven. Mm. You want to go to heaven or hell? It's about eternity. Yeah. But for me, it was about this life. Do you want Jesus in your life now? And I love that Jesus offers both of those to us. Mm. He not only offers us eternity in a home that he's building, preparing for us, but he offers to come and be at home with us here in this life. And so now we're going to talk a little bit about what that's looked like in our careers. I'm going to let her kick off with her career, because her career is a lot more exciting than mine.
As a kid, I remember singing with my hairbrush, imagining there were thousands of people, you know, in this huge concert. Those were my dreams as a kid. And I also remember my dad bought me a karaoke machine. Now, for those of you who don't know, Filipinos love their karaoke. It's not a party unless you bust out the karaoke. See, they're going like this. And I would come home every day after school and put on that karaoke machine, and I would sing for hours and hours, just getting better and training my voice. So I always thought I'd become a singer. But it turned out that I could not pursue my singing career because my father actually passed away. It was during that college time. And so I decided to just stop singing and just honor my dad, because I remember him, he had told me, it's okay that you sing, but I really want you to study and graduate with a degree, because when the singing career, if it doesn't work out, at least you have a degree to fall on. So that's why I continued my studies and studied psychology. But God's plans were very different, because straight after college, I was actually discovered while singing. You guessed it, where? In karaoke. It was in a karaoke bar that I was singing, and this big time producer came over and he just basically wanted to sign me and my friend up and to do some albums. And he was a legit guy. He was very famous, so we knew he was legit. And within a month, we were already recording an album. So that was just amazing, because there's so many great singers. So to be given that opportunity was just a dream come true. And after we recorded that album, when the first album came out, we had a number one hit song. And if you have a number one hit song in the Philippines, it propels you in the music industry for years. We came out with 6 albums. We had tours, we had concerts, we had appearances on movies and TV shows. We guested on TV shows. We even hosted them. We became like a household name. We were also on radio tours. We did concerts internationally and locally as well in big venues. And I really think about, it really was living the pop star life. I just could not believe that it was happening, that I really saw these thousands of people as a kid. It was a reality. So that was a huge dream come true for me. And I imagine, you know, all those girls, whether they're in New York or in Manila or wherever around the world, you know, they have that same dream too. They work so hard and they try their best to break it into the industry. And then I look at my life and really see how amazing God was and how faithful and how he gave me the favor to actually get into the music industry. So just truly grateful for his favor to be upon me with so many amazing people who have great talent. But because of the busy schedule, which is what I mentioned before, I could not attend. Because of all the singing gigs and everything, I could not even attend church for almost a year and just got involved in small groups. But I really, again, appreciated the small group of ladies because they supported me at a time that was very difficult. I could have easily gotten lost in that crazy industry, you know, facing the pitfalls and the temptations of the music industry, but they were there for me to guide me and encourage me to set my path straight, so to speak, to keep me rooted and keep me, you know, down so I wasn't all the way up there and too proud. So even until this day, I will truly be grateful for the women that I walked with, even until now. I'm just so grateful. I really am. Yeah, Bruce met all those amazing women. I do remember throughout all this singing career that finally I got to go to church, and I remember going and stepping into the service, and I saw the worship team. I saw them lead worship, and I felt the presence of God, but I knew that was what I was created to do. We were created to worship God, and I knew that with his voice that he had given me that I was going to volunteer and lead worship, and so that's what I did. I volunteered. I started leading worship, and then eventually I got hired to be the worship director of that church. So that was amazing for me because I got to do the thing that I love most, not just sing as a career, but sing for God. So it really meant something very special to me. I discovered that I love the church when it gathers together, and I love it that I get to use the gift that God has given me to bring people to Christ and worship him. Because that's what the Bible says, right? That we will be doing this for all eternity. Worship God 24/7. So just to help people encounter him and worship God and bring a piece of heaven here on earth on a Sunday or wherever, that is truly an honor and a privilege. And just so blessed to be a part of that. And just looking back at my career, I can even remember that God was, just looking back every step of the way, his provision, every opportunity that he gave us to sing, internationally, locally, just every form of media to just, you know, get exposed and all the gigs and the provision that he gave. He was really with me every step of the way. And I can remember the first night, or rather I can remember the first time we released our album. I had the poster of our album and I pinned it on my bedroom wall. I looked at it and I said, God, thank you for letting my dream come true. Please let me take care of this gift you've given me. I don't want to abuse it because I knew that, you know, the entertainment world was going to be crazy. But even then, I pray that protect me, God, from this crazy world and the gift that you've given me. And I remember saying that prayer. And when I prayed that prayer, it's interesting to know that a few weeks after that, that was when my college buddy actually shared the gospel with me. He prayed that prayer with me. So you could already see that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it was right before my career. And even then, God had heard my prayer and protected me right before the career had started. So again, grateful for my friends and God for answering prayers. And even in my gigs, every night when I would meet some fans, I did what my friend did, which was to befriend people. I invited them to church. And they would come to church. I built that friendship with them. And it's truly amazing to see that they did come to church. Some of them even accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and some of them actually went to full-time ministry. So wherever you are, whatever place you're in, don't be afraid to build that relationship with them and to also share the gospel and bring them to Christ, because it would make the world of difference in even helping people walk into their calling and in their destiny. I was just like a proud mama when I saw my fan going to full-time ministry. And even one of the girls, one of the fans who became a friend, even became a very dear friend of mine. And she, until now, is walking with me as a sister in Christ in this, you know, in this relationship that we have with God. Just truly grateful. Now, time, we're running out of time, so I can't really go to all the details, but God has taken me from Manila to New York to Taipei. And I can tell you that I've just really been blessed to be able to use the God that, I've been able to be so blessed to use the God, the gift, sorry, that God has given me. Yeah, to be able to just worship him. And it's really an honor to just see people come to Christ and have that encounter with them when we sing our praises and we worship him. And to be able to sing our worship, do what we're called to do, and do the thing that I love most, right? And bring people to worship him. I'm sorry I'm running around in circles, but just truly blessed and truly honored. And there's no greater gift to do the thing that you love most doing with the people that you love to bring glory to God.
Amen to that. That's such a what a powerful story. And I love that saying, just be able to do the thing you love with the people you love. So I love being able to do ministry with my beautiful wife because I love her. In fact, I remember the first time that I saw her. Was actually in church leading worship. The first time that I fell in infatuation. I'm not sure if it was love because I had no clue who she was. Just she's in the stage, you know, she's down on the stage in this conference, like 15,000 people. She's leading worship. In fact, I have a picture of that moment. And this is her singing the song. I remember that pink and yellow outfit and seeing her on stage and just thinking, who is that girl? Finding out that she's single and thinking, okay, you know, I got to get to know that girl. And who knew, you know, that years later we would be married. And I even remember the song because that song impacted my life. You know how songs connect with moments, connect with memories and emotions? And that song, it was written by the guy who was at the time the worship leader for Every Nation. And it's called We Speak to Nations. And so we're in this conference, and she starts that song off and leads it. And the words of the song say, hear the sound of the nations calling. You know, and then it talks about, it chokes me up when I think about this song, not just because of her, but because of the message of the song. And it says, hear the sound of the fatherless cry. Because this is what we live for. This is why we do church. It's not about me having a better life. It's not about helping me get my act together. It's about there are people out there whose hearts are broken, who don't know their Heavenly Father. And you and I who know our Heavenly Father, we need to have that heart for the nations. We need to have the same heart that our Father has, that he would send his only son for his lost sons and daughters. We need to think about our own family, when a son or brother, you know, would a sister or brother would get lost or run away from home, and that same heart, that passion, that burden that we'd have to see them brought home. This is the heart of God. This is what Jesus in our lives is all about. It's that we find home, we find dad, we find family. And we need to not just keep that for ourselves. So I just remember singing that song, and it goes, we speak to nations. You know, it says, who will go for us? And then it says, we speak to nations and be open. Mm-hmm. We speak to nations. Let me just read the words of this song. So powerful. Fall on your knees. We speak to strongholds. Be broken. The kingdom of God is coming near to you. We speak to you. Be free. And so I just remember that, seeing her sing, you know, seeing her worshiping and that anointing coming on her and just thinking, you know, I want to be like that. Lord, I want to be that person who goes to nations. And here we are now, you know, in the nations. You know, my career story couldn't be any more different than hers. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. She knew from like a little kid, you know. I thought, you know, my first thought when I went to college was I'm going to be a doctor, you know. My dad always told me, you know, if you want to really be rich, go into business. But if you're okay with not being super wealthy, then, you know, be a doctor or a lawyer or engineer. Just get a solid job. It's going to have a good income and you'll be good, you know. And so I thought, okay, I'll be a doctor because I want to help people, you know, as a Christian. And so then, you know, I saw what doctors do and I thought, you know, I don't want to be around sick people in a hospital all day long the rest of my life. And so I thought in college, I shifted out from being a doctor. Then I thought lawyer, and then I thought engineer. My dad had an engineering company. I could work for him, take over the business. But by the end of college, I was like, I don't want to be any of those things. So I got my little degree in zoology, and I headed off into the big world. You know, and I went to Bible college. I went to seminary. I worked in our family businesses. I traveled the world, you know, did business in Asia, South America, Texas, of all places. That's like a whole other country itself, you know, working with farmers. They're a whole other breed. But just this life of doing all these different things, from property development to international trade to working with farmers to sales and marketing, And then going to seminary and then pastoring a church and thinking I'll do that for a while and then getting stuck in that for a lot longer than I thought. I thought I'll be a pastor maybe 2 years, you know, and now here I am 30 years later, I'm still a pastor. But even then, I thought I was a pastor in the church that I got saved in and grew up in. And I thought, you know, I'm set for life. These are the people I grew up with. I love them. They love me. I know this church. I know this city. It's Hawaii. Hawaii's not a bad place to pastor a church, you know. I'm set, you know. And then finding myself heading off to New York and thinking, this is awesome. I'm in New York pastoring a church, you know, the Big Apple. And then next thing I know, called to Taiwan. And here I am now with all of you. And it's just part of that saying, you know, we're called to the nations. Mm. But like for her, doing one thing with that one gift that she felt called to from a little kid, all the way through the rest of her life, in every city, every church, using that, being able to use that same gift for me, just going from one career to another, one thing to another. And yet for both of us, just seeing God's hand in it. Because for both of us, whatever we're doing, we've really been just doing what God's called us to do and saying, God, I want to work where God's working. I want to be where God is doing stuff. I don't want to be out there on my own just trying to make my own thing. I don't want to have a career here and then my religious life here. But really, it's God walking with us in every step and us following him every step of the way. I want to share this last verse with you in Matthew chapter 11. It's been one of the most powerful verses for me. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And that's been the story of my life. Just working these different places, working different jobs. I can remember, you know, working as a campus ministry director, and yet working a full-time job. It was like an 80 to 90 hour a week job most weeks. And then doing the campus ministry on the side, and spending a lot of nights not sleeping, you know, telling the secretary at our job, saying, you know, when you come in early, call my apartment, wake me up in case I'm sleeping, because, you know, or in case I'm still working and haven't gone to sleep yet, make sure I get there, work on time, but just loving every moment of it, because of what God says. My yoke is easy. Working with God, when you're in the place where God's called you. See, what feels like a grind is when we're not in the purpose God called us for. Because then it's like, you know, using an iron to cook your food. You know, it just doesn't work. You know, yeah, it's hot, and yes, it can do it, but it's not what an iron was made for. And you may be in a place where you can do what you're doing, but God wants you to be in the place that you were created for. And that's been the story of our lives. And it's always not just about place. It's not always just about work and role. It's also about the people and community that God called you to be with, because that makes life fit, makes life work. I can remember when I was falling in love with Terry and just totally infatuated with her, not really knowing her, because we lived, you know, halfway around the world, literally 12 time zones away, and trying to carry on the relationship. But when I met the women of her community, I found that they were just strong, accomplished women. The prayer leader of a movement was one of her mentors. You know, doctors and TV producers were her friends. And I can remember meeting them and how they grilled me, and I thought, these are some strong women. And it told me something about her. Because knowing her community, the people that she looked up to, who were her heroes, who she let shape her life, the people that she shared life with and really shared life with, and then bringing her into my community and the people that I share life with who know me, bringing her around and asking them, do you think she's good for me? And having those two communities say, you know what, this is good, really gave me a lot of peace even when I hardly knew her. I knew her through the community she lived with. And that's the blessing of community. And so I want to encourage you, you know, to make this your community, not just your religious exercise. This is meant to be the people that we share life with. That's the benefit of it. Having God in our lives through every step of the way and having a community that we walk together with. This is who we are. This is what church is. This is what it means to be the church, whether we are in the room together, in the room where it happens, or whether we're online and across the ocean. This is the community, the relationship that God created us for. So let's be that church. Not only that we become a strong community here, a place where people can come, but where we become a people that send to the nations. Let's always be a church that has a heart, not just for ourselves, but to every nation. So I want to just pray for us as we close in this moment. If you would go ahead, why don't you stand? You know, wherever you're at this moment in life, whatever journey you're on, wherever that this season is for you, I want to encourage you to invite God into it. To open your heart to see Him in this season of your life. Give God a space in your heart. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Jesus, we thank you that you not only are building a home for us in heaven, and that through you we can know that our eternity is secure. But Father God, I thank you that you want to come and make your home with us right here, right now. That we can taste heaven on earth right in this very season of our lives. Father God, my prayer is that for each one, those who are here in the room and those who are online, that Father God, this would be a moment when we would come into a deeper relationship with you, that we would really endeavor to open our lives to you, and that would be an ongoing communion and community that we would be a part of, that you would be a part of our home, that we could become a part of yours. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.